Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the worker.
War on the worker.
Oh, it's a war on the worker.
War on the worker.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots.
War on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water,
war on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air,
war on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO,
war on the workers.
You best be screaming hell. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war.
It's a war on the workers. That's right. That's Ann Feeney. She starts off every single edition of the Brain Labor Report with that song. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Good to be with you on this cold and dark Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show, and we come to you via the airwaves. Well, here in Ashland, Oregon, we do. We're a low-power FM radio station, at least KSKQ is. That's who broadcasts the Brain Labor Report at 94.9 FM here in Ashland. Now, you could be listening to us in Australia. Kimball Yates is there, Professional Yates, Professor Yates. He's a math guy, math professor at Southern Oregon University. He happens to be in Australia as I speak. He could be listening to us via www.kskq.org. And glad to have you with us this morning. The Brain Labor Report talks about the issues of the day for ordinary working people. Sometimes we have a guest, sometimes we don't. We always play labor songs. And like I said, Ann Feeney starts off every single show with a war on the workers. Tremendous war on the workers in this country right now. I don't know if you all are getting the same messages that I'm getting, but we have corporations that absolutely have got caught with their pants down, and what do we do? What do we do with them? We gave them our tax money and said, hey, we'll catch you again with your pants down. It's absolutely unreal. It's surreal. That's what it is. It is surreal that we have all this faith in corporations. They're taking us down. They're taking down the United States of America. And our belief in corporations has turned into such that they give our politicians money who turn around and make laws that will help the corporations make more money. And unfortunately, most of us just stand by and in awe because we're awed with corporations. We love them or something. I don't know. Does this make any sense to you folks? It's a war on the workers. Ann Feeney says it best. And another place you can get information besides Ann Feeney's labor songs is the Workers Independent News out of Madison, Wisconsin. 3 minutes of cutting-edge news. KCMX Hate Radio doesn't even touch this information, okay? Really important, and we're so proud. It's an anchor for the Brain Labor Report. So for this day, this cold and dark Tuesday, March 10th, 2009, here is the Workers' Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Workers from the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, are on Capitol Hill to urge lawmakers to vote for the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform. Mike Kingsbury, a nurse from Colorado, says workers need this reform, making it easier to exercise their rights to join unions, because it stops anti-union employer intimidation like he experienced.
Within 15 minutes of my boss finding out that we were organizing, the director of nursing, who I had never had a meeting with before, and one of the other nurse managers from my unit sat me down in an office and talked to me for like an hour and a half. You know, this is while I was at work supposedly taking care of patients, and just on and on and on and on about why unions were bad and why it was a bad idea and how misguided I was.
Kingsbury says he and millions of workers nationwide want this labor reform to enforce their union rights, and he says the economic recovery won't be complete without it.
Without the Employee Free Choice Act, we're not going to have a good recovery. We won't have a complete recovery until we can get something that guarantees workers some of the basic fundamental rights. These are human rights.
President Obama supports the Employee Free Choice Act. He says unlike the Bush administration, which tried to undermine unions, labor will always have a seat at the table during his administration. And he says unions are needed to have a strong American middle class. The newspaper industry continues to reel from lost ad revenue and a deepening recession. Jesse Russell reports.
Workers for one of the country's largest newspaper chains received a whammy of an announcement on Monday. McClatchy announced it would be cutting 1,600 jobs. This announcement, which slashes 15% of the company's workforce, comes only a handful of months after the previous job cuts by the company in 2008. In the summer of last year, McClatchy let go of 2,550 jobs. Executives for the company will have their pay cut by 10%, and they will not receive bonuses this year. McClatchy Chief Executive Gary Pruitt will have his $1.1 million base salary cut by 15%. Sacramento, California-based McClatchy is the third largest newspaper chain in the country, with 30 daily newspapers.
The world's largest maker of farm machinery has announced plans for more layoffs. Deere & Company will cut 325 jobs from its construction and forestry division. This comes on top of 200 cuts in February.
Here is today's economic report. Males are being hit hard by the shrinking job market. 80% of the laid-off workers since the recession began have been men. In November of 2008, women held 49% of jobs in the United States. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, women could soon be the majority workforce in the country. The shift can be attributed to heavy loss of male-dominated jobs, such as in the construction and manufacturing industries.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Okay, here's the plan, folks. We have a guest this morning. Linda Peterson is an activist up in Eugene, Oregon. She's with AFSCME, and that's another public employee union besides my union, the SEIU, Service Employees Union. And I know Linda mainly through trade work. That's right. We both work with the Oregon Fair Trade trade campaign. We can talk about trade, but I think we're mainly going to talk about single-payer health care. And so we're going to get her on the phone. That's the plan. We'll see if it works right. And while we do that, though, we should play a song for you. And if we're going to be talking about health care, maybe we should find Ann Feeney's song about national health care now. That's a heck of a good idea. Okay, I'm going to play that for you right now. Let's get her queued up here. And as soon as we do, we're ready to go. Okay, here we go. All right. We want national health care now. Ann Feeney. Thank you, Ann. What a great song. I love that song. And how right can you be? Okay, Ann Feeney, thank you. And I think we have Linda on the phone now. Linda, can you hear us this morning? Okay, well, a little feedback, but I think we got her okay here. Linda Peterson, thanks. Thank you for being our guest early this morning on Tuesday, March 10th. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Linda Peterson is on the telephone. She's up in Eugene, Oregon. And just prior to the phone call here, Linda, I was telling our guests that I know you mainly through our work with the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. I told folks we could talk about trade, but in fact, we run out of things to talk about. We can go there. But I thought we wanted to talk about single-payer health care reform in general. But before we get there, Linda. For Jason and for myself, I know you some, but not all that much. And for our listeners, Linda, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Linda Peterson, and I'm the president of my local, and I serve on the steering committee of Oregon Fair Trade Campaign, which is a real important issue. And I also serve on the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network, Eugene's Jobs with Justice up here. And my big issue right now is healthcare and trade, of course. And so I was glad to talk to you when you called.
Well, thank you so much. Now, president of your local, tell us just a little bit about your local and about your union. Could you please, Linda?
Okay, my union's AFSCME, and my local is AFSCME Local 3214, and we're a local that does care and life enrichment activities for people who happen to have developmental disabilities. A lot of our folks came out of the old Fairview when it closed down up in Salem.
Oh, okay. Well, that's quite interesting. So, I guess I didn't hear you that close. Your local is involved with, did you say home care?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And we work in the homes. We work in the homes of the people that we serve. They're like group homes. They're what they are.
And you're talking about folks' health care mainly. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. We deal with health care and getting them to the doctor and... You know, if they get, that's another reason why healthcare is such a big issue for us, is because, you know, sometimes our people will need something, you know, and it'll be refused by the doctor and they have to pay for it themselves. Really, it isn't by the doctors, it's by the health insurance companies.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Healthcare affects everybody, and the insurance companies are affecting everybody too.
Well, infecting some of us. Now, listen, I want to get there in just a minute, but for folks who, I want to give a plug for the work that you're doing there. For folks who are they pay taxes, taxpayers, okay, and they're penny pinchers, which most of us are, and concerned, where does our tax money go? The work that Linda Peterson is involved with saves us lots of money. If you compare what it costs for home care versus what it costs for a person to be institutionalized, we're talking about elderly generally. I think Linda can clarify this. We save taxpayers so much money with that work. And I'll tell you one other thing. I don't know how old you are. I'm getting older by the day. But we're all of us, almost all of us, some of us might get hit by a meteor and die immediately, but most of us are going to ail. We're going to have our health care start to fail as we get older. That's the way it is. That's the way you start dying, actually. Now, let me tell you this. Most people want to be in their homes as long as they can. I'm one of them. I don't want to be in a damn nursing home. I want to be home. And so the work, Linda, that you're involved with helps people do that and saves taxpayer money. This infomercial is brought to you by the Brain Labor Report. Linda, did I say it right? Help us a little bit.
Yes, I think you said it. I think you laid it out pretty clear. I mean, nursing homes and in-home care both have their place, so they're both real important. Our folks, you know, that is where your tax dollars go, because our folks have to have a place to stay. Most of them are getting older, and their families are not either still, you know, no longer alive, and they are dependent upon care, and they deserve to have a good quality of life, and they also deserve to have a good quality of health. And sometimes it seems like insurance companies dictate our health instead of our doctors, and I don't think that's okay.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting into the topic that makes the hair on the back of my neck rise up, Linda. You said insurance companies, and in particular, I think we're talking about health insurance companies. By the way, they're responsible for a lot of premature deaths in this country. I'll tell you how that works. And Linda, I'll ask you to pipe in, but here's how it works. Insurance companies, health insurance companies, of course, if you have a major catastrophic illness, oh, my God, folks, I hope that never happens to you like it has to people I've known. If you have a major catastrophic illness and then and you have good health insurance, you're going to be very much surprised, because what health insurance companies will do is try to shun you away. they will try to deny claims. In fact, they make a lot of money by denying claims and denying service. And when you die, they win because then they don't have to pay a damn thing. Okay, folks, I'm a little bit upset about insurance companies. I'm going to turn her back to Linda, and maybe she can be a little more sane about it. But Linda, what do you think?
I'm real concerned. When I came into work last night, the person that I relieved at work was very concerned because she needed to take her daughter to the doctor today because she thinks she's got pink eye, and she's going to have to pay for that out of pocket. And she doesn't know how she'll pay for it. She doesn't, you know, people in our industry don't make much money, but we make too much to really qualify for any health care help and coverage when it comes to our children, and we can't afford to cover them on our plan. It would take her whole paycheck just to pay for a whole paycheck for her just to pay for insurance for her family. She can't afford to do that. And so, of course, then people wait, and then they wind up having to go to emergency rooms, and that costs way too much money. And, you know, it puts our children at risk. It puts us at risk. It puts our parents at risk. It affects everybody. And when they go to the emergency room, if they can't afford to pay, then we wind up paying for it anyway.
Oh, boy, you just described a national disaster. It's called the healthcare system in this country. Linda, okay, and we mentioned insurance companies. They can be part of the problem. What can we do about this, Linda? Do you got any ideas?
Yes.
That was a loaded question, folks. Go ahead, please. Sister Peterson, go ahead.
I think it's very important that we enact national health care is not nationalization of the health care system. That's one of the misnomers, and it is what our insurance companies and politicians want people to believe, but it's not true. There's H.R. 676, which would put health care back into the hands of our doctors, take it out of the hands of the insurance companies. It's real important that if we're talking right now, Obama wants to have health care reform. My concern is that health care reform is just another word for bailout for insurance companies. Up here in the Eugene area, we have seen layoffs in the health care industry. We have Oregon Medical Group here who's having, you know, problems, and they're on their second round of cuts, and they've had layoffs. And it's because people are losing their insurance, which is affecting people going into the regular clinics. Well, the people who lose their health insurance and don't go to the regular clinics anymore are going to wind up in the emergency rooms, which is going to cost everybody anyway.
Oh, boy.
And H.R. 676 is the legislation that the insurance companies don't want us to know about. It's not nationalizations because the doctors will be private, you know, business people, except for I don't think they really think of themselves as business, but maybe they do. But it would take, the money would go to them instead of the insurance companies. And I don't want my tax dollars going to corporate insurance companies. I want my tax dollars, if they're going to go anywhere, to go to my doctor to perform the care that I need, not the care that's dictated for profit corporations. Like the insurance companies.
Makes sense to me. Where do I sign up? I'm telling you, H.R. 676 is sometimes called single payer. Single payer, okay? Now, you hear lots of things said about this, the big S word, socialism. It's kind of a funny thing that people are all worried about socialism these days, Linda. We just gave all of our taxpayer money, not all of it, but a good share of it, to corporations to bail them out. The financial institutions that have mismanaged money so badly in this country. By the way, insurance companies are part of those financial institutions. And so a lot of people are promoting that we all have health insurance, that that's the answer for health care. Folks, anybody can connect the dots on this. Those damn insurance companies are part of the financial institutions debacle that, in fact, is hurting the United States of America, and it's financially taking us down. Okay, I'm going to turn it back to somebody who's a little more sane. I really get fired up on this. Linda, help us a little bit with it. What can people do? How can they learn more? We got about 5 minutes left to go, Linda.
All they need to do is type in HR 676 into their search engines and start researching it themselves and start, and if they like what they see, it's, a lot of people call it extended Medicare for all. Medicare has been destroyed by the privatization that Bush did. My mother is one of the people whose prescription drugs, she has really very practically no help at all anymore, and that was turned over to insurance companies. It was not meant, and every time the insurance companies get involved, they wind up, that's what's driving the cost. And HR 676 will make a difference. And if they like what they see, they need to call their congressman. They need to really push, because we are going to have health care reform. They're really going to push it. And this is a good thing. If we would get HR 676 or single payer, it would be a good thing for our future generations as well. Our future generations cannot afford the cost of insurance companies. It's a burden that is too great for them to bear. Is all we need to do is drive up a deficit with payments to insurance companies. So whatever reform we have, we need to get the insurance companies out of it, because they've got too much money. They corrupt and create loopholes that they can drive truckloads of money through.
Oh, boy.
You know, and just get richer and richer with our tax dollars. And I'm sorry, corporations have stole enough out of our pockets. We have to put a stop to it, not just for us, but for future generations, because we can't afford them anymore.
Well, that's I can't say it any better than that. I will add one other thing. Most folks may not know this, but for every dollar that is spent on health care, 31 cents goes to insurance companies. And those are the people with the wheelbarrows that take our money to the bank. And then they turn around and deny us care, and people end up dying. It's absolutely a national disgrace. Okay, Linda, where do we go next? Healthcare, how do we turn it around? I guess the biggest thing we need to do, Linda, tell us a little bit about this. What's your ideas here? You know, you don't hear much about single-payer health care. How can we get the word out? The Brain Labor Report's asking folks to pay attention to this, and you're not going to probably hear it on the ABC News. How can we get the word out better? Any ideas on that? You mentioned the web page. I'll turn her back to you, Linda.
Well, a good thing to do is to start talking to friends and family, because the debate is going on right now in Washington, D.C., and we need the debate going on in our homes and in our where we work. We need to be spreading the word, because the insurance companies are on the move. They want this to happen. I spent 1 hour watching CNN and saw two beautiful ads on healthcare reform, and I was really excited. I was like, wow, people are spending money on this. And at the end of it, when they do the little credit-like things, I saw it was insurance companies. As we lose more and more jobs in this country, that means loss of health care dollars to the insurance companies. So they want to see reform happen. So it is on the move now. We need to be talking about it. We need to educate ourselves, and we need to make we need to make a change, not just calling our congressman. It takes more than that. It takes educating ourselves and educating our neighbors and our family members. And, you know, we've got to get out and do something about this, because we can't afford this. As a country, we cannot afford insurance companies anymore. Our employers can't afford it either. And that was one of the things AFSCME and SEIU both recently pulled out of the coalition up there in Washington, D.C., and they're not talking about it because they have a pact to keep it secret what they meet about. So they won't talk about it, and they're referring people people back to the coalition for answers, but you can bet your bottom dollar it's because employers no longer want to pay. Insurance companies need the money. And what does that leave? That leaves health care reform dollars, our taxpayer money. So we better be involved and figure out where our money is going to go. And
well said, Linda. Well said. We got about 10 seconds to say goodbye. Linda Peterson, thank you. I hope you'll come back. Thanks for being our guest on the Brain Labor Report.
Okay, thank you. You take care.
Okay, folks, we're out of here. Be back again tomorrow.
Good morning. It's Friday, March 20th, 2009.